The text that we're focusing on this morning is our gospel text from John chapter 6. We read verses 32 and 35. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. In our chapel services this week, we're focusing on this theme that Christ is the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And so I want to start this morning with the main point of our devotion here this morning. The main take-home point that I want you to take with you and carry with you into the week as we think about that theme. And so the main point of our text for today is this, that when Jesus came into the world, he didn't come into the world to give you what you think will fulfill you and satisfy you. He came into the world to be the thing that will fulfill you and satisfy you. So Jesus did not come into the world mainly to give you bread, but to be bread. So we're going to talk about that today, what it means for us and what it reveals to us about the nature of our God, that he is full of compassion and love and grace, and that his desire is for you to be satisfied and fulfilled. So what will do that? What will satisfy you and fulfill you? Last Saturday, my wife and I, we were up in the Twin Cities, and we went to a few houses in the Parade of Homes. It's basically where builders up in the Twin Cities, they have open houses for these massive, gigantic mansions, and you can tour them, possibly with the hopes of hiring these people to build your dream house. We're not in the market for houses like this. They're the nicest houses I've ever seen, costing several million dollars. They all had movie theaters and indoor gymnasiums and golf simulators. They were incredible. But the thing that blew me away was in the kitchen of the nicest house that we walked through. We went into the kitchen, this just massive kitchen, and there's this huge stovetop with 8 burners. And next to it is something I didn't recognize. So I walked over there and I opened it up and I realized it was a built-in sous vide cooking station built into the countertop. And it floored me because it kind of put everything else into context for me. It made me pause and step back and ask myself, is this it? For somebody who's touring this house with perhaps the intent to buy it, thinking, I have everything. I already have 6 bedrooms. I already have 12 bathrooms. I already have the climate-controlled wine room in my basement and the indoor sauna room. I have all of that, but not this. I don't have a sous vide cooking station in my kitchen. If only this is what I had, then I would be satisfied and fulfilled. Then I would be content. Now, obviously, it's ridiculous to think that a sous vide cooking station, that anybody's looking for fulfillment or satisfaction in that. But that's the point. That's what made me think. If it's not that, then what is it? So what is it for you? Fill in the blank. If only I had blank, then I would be content. Then I'd be satisfied and fulfilled. Looking back in my life, I would answer that question in so many different ways, but I think I would always have an answer. At one point it was, once I have a spouse, okay, then I'm going to be satisfied and fulfilled and life can really start and I'll be content and I'll feel fulfilled. Or maybe it's when I get a call to be a pastor and I'm serving a congregation, then I'll feel fulfilled and I'm being useful to God. Maybe it's when I'm a little bit more busy and I have more things to work on because I'm kind of bored. And maybe it's when I'm less busy, or maybe it's when I get kids, or maybe it's because I don't have a huge, gigantic project to work on, something big to work towards, or maybe it's when I don't have all of these projects on my plate, then I will be satisfied and fulfilled. And I think, I'm certain that it's the same for you. And I don't think, even if we don't realize it, even if it's not a deliberate thing that we sit down and decide, I think that there is a thing that's always in the back of our mind that we think is our sous vide cooking station in the kitchen. That one thing that we think is going to be the thing that makes us stop searching for the thing. Because once we get it, then we're going to be satisfied. Then we will be fulfilled. But I've never met a person who found it. I've never spoken to, I've never heard of somebody who says, I have everything in this world that I could ever possibly want. I am 100% content. I have the perfect spouse, the perfect children, the perfect plan for my future, the perfect career, the perfect everything, and there's nothing else I could possibly want. So recognizing that, Jesus comes to us and he says, guess what? It's me. He comes to us in our gospel today and he says, don't look at houses or relationships or stuff for what I alone can give to you. He's telling us, I am what is missing. I am the only one who can give you the satisfaction and the fulfillment that your heart craves because I made you that way. That's how I designed you. That's how I created you to be. And to understand what he's saying in our text, we have to understand what leads up to it. The beginning of John 6, chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. He multiplies the bread. He gives people what they think they need, what they really want. He gives them a meal. He fills their bellies. He does this in a miraculous way, and then they pursue him. They're seeking him, and they want to make him a king, and this is upsetting to Jesus. He says, truly, I say to you, you are not looking for me because of the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. It upsets Jesus because they didn't love Jesus. They loved what he could do for them. They weren't saying, Jesus, we are seeking you because we know that you are what fulfills and satisfies. They're saying, Jesus, we're seeking you because you can give us for free the things that we think will satisfy us and fulfill us. And as people in this world, it's so easy for us to fall into the thinking of this world. To fall into the trap of thinking that it's stuff and situations that will fulfill us. And in that way, looking to God and desiring him because of what he can give us. I am going to trust in God. I'm going to walk in his ways because I know that he is the one who can guide my life and give me the perfect job, the dream spouse, my two sons and two daughters and my cabin up north and an early retirement. He's the one who can make my dreams come true and can make sure that in this life, in this world, I am satisfied and fulfilled with all of my stuff. And if that's why we're trusting God, then our hearts too are in the wrong place. So Jesus points to the manna of the Exodus, a miraculous bread that came down from heaven and fed God's people every single day, but it lasted a day. So every night those Israelites, they went to bed having nothing. And they had to wake up trusting that God's going to provide for them again the next day and the next day. A 40-year reminder that it's not the Israelites' work, it's not their ingenuity, it's not their survival skills that is getting them through, it's their God providing for their needs every single day out of his love for them. That hasn't changed. It's the exact same situation today. Remember that it is not your work, it's not the degree that you will get, it's not your networking skills, it's not your bank account that will provide for you, it's him. It's our God. And he does provide. This is what he promises to do. He will give to you what you need. He'll give you your daily bread. But here's the thing, he knows what that is way better than we do. He knows what we actually need. Every day when I get to the office at church, the first thing I do is I fill out this note card that has all my tasks for the day. It's a task list, a prioritized task list, and I set it right in front of my monitor so I see it all day long, and it's what I need to get done. It's my plan. I honestly don't think that in 13 years of being a pastor that I've ever worked through my task list and gone home. Every single day, God has a different plan for my day. I think I know what's best. I think I know what I need to do to accomplish the vocation that God has called me to do. But he says every single day, I know better. He constantly reminds me that he has a better plan for my marriage, for my kids, for my church, for my entire life. And with that, if I didn't have his word and his promise that he's doing this, that he's using his omniscience and his power and his influence for my ultimate spiritual good and for the spiritual good of the people that I serve, I would be very, very discouraged. But this is God's promise to you, and it's a promise that I rely on every single day, that he knows exactly what you truly need. His promise to you is that you can go to him and that you will receive the bread of life. And when you hear Jesus say life, don't think subsistence. Don't think survival. What Jesus is talking about here is a satisfying life, a complete life, a life that is filled with purpose and joy, a life that is eternal. And he says, it's me. He says, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. The one who believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, when there is unity with me, when you put your trust in me, when you rely on me, when you're not looking to anyone or anything else for the fulfillment and satisfaction that you crave, then you can stop searching because you will have found it. He says, I will give you the satisfaction and fulfillment that you can't find in anything else in this world. That's something worth striving for, isn't it? That's something worth working towards. And Jesus agrees. In John 6, 27, he says, do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life. When you hear that, it should make you wince a little bit. It should make you say, what are you talking about? That sounds wrong, Jesus. Eternal life, this bread of life, isn't something we work for. It's a gift by God's grace. It's free. So what is he talking about? And the people ask that. They say, what should we do to carry out the works of God? Jesus, what is this work? What do we need to do to eat this bread and receive this fulfillment and satisfaction that you're promising to us? He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. So the work is no work at all. It's faith. It is taking our sinful nature, which will never look to God for fulfillment and satisfaction, which only looks to anything and everything else. It's taking that sinful nature and drowning it every day in repentance. It's remembering our baptism, where the desires of the flesh were put to death with Christ. It's hearing the comforting, life-giving words of the gospel when your Savior comes to you and says, "It is finished. Your sins are forgiven. You belong to me. I have united myself to you, and I've made your heart my home." Jesus has done this all, and it's free. Christ died in our place. He rose again from the dead. He lived a perfect life of righteousness, and he's there to remind you, you don't have to work for these gifts. Stop trying to work towards your satisfaction and fulfillment. Stop thinking that a satisfying and fulfilling life is out there somewhere in the future, in some future life that you will curate and create for yourself, that you will work towards, where everything is just as you've always imagined it to be. Understand that this promise is for you today. Eat the bread of life. Today, it's Jesus. It is the unity that he's forged with you. It is the righteousness that he's clothed you in. It's the glory that he shares with you. It's the victory that he's won for you. It's the faith that makes all of this your possession. You own it. It belongs to you. It is yours today in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen, I tell you. The Father has given you the real bread from heaven, the bread of God that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He is where we find the satisfaction and the fulfillment that our hearts crave, and he supplies it in abundance. Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the grace and the mercy and the patience that you show us. We thank you so much for sending us Christ Jesus as the bread of life that has come down from heaven. Lord, enable our hearts to believe and to know that our satisfaction and fulfillment are found only in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.